I chose to make a little self-examination here to remind ourselves to we need to go through a little self-examination every once in a while. So I want to ask you this morning, have you examined your faith lately? To see where you are, to see if you've made progress or which direction you're going with your faith. It's good to periodically examine ourselves just to check and see where we are, see if there's something that we need to improve, some barrier that we need to remove that will help us to progress spiritually, draw closer to God, and He will draw closer to us. The Hebrews writer in chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, wrote this and said, he's quoting from one of the Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is the Lord God speaking to his people. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. The Hebrews writer talking about himself among Christians. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. In other words, we trust in our faith. We have the kind of faith that will preserve our soul. We have the kind of faith that when this life is over, God will look at us and say, you had faith. You were faithful. It will preserve your soul. The Lord God has prepared a place for you. Come and be with me in eternity. That's what we really all hope for, because this very short life won't last very long. It doesn't hold anything of real value to us as eternity does if we're faithful. Remember that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We use it in our teaching program here. We use it to encourage people to live closer to God. In Hebrews 10 and verse 22, the writer has referred to their full assurance of faith. So faith has an assurance with it, the kind of faith we read about in the Bible. By a righteous or just person's faith, he shall be able to stand amid tribulations and trials and problems and difficulties, whatever of those sort that come his or her way in life. In Habakkuk's time, which is where this quotation came from, the righteous man could be saved by his faithful and his dedication, his tenacious clinging to God. He could be saved by that. Fidelity and fortitude are even more required of a righteous person today who wears the name of Christ, because you will be persecuted for that. But even the righteous person is subject to weakness and subject to shrinking back and diminishing in his faith from time to time. Maybe a person becomes somewhat unwilling to endure the trials of his faith. An illustrating picture describing this type of condition among the faithful who falter would be like a dog who tucks his tail, or a person who has really stuck at nothing through life, doesn't really have the dedication and determination to see very much of anything through. We might be talking about a person who just quits. Quits on God, quits on the faith, quits on the church, quits on association with other Christians, just becomes discouraged, maybe, but just sees quitting as an option. God's not pleased with the one who fails to stand. He's not pleased with the one who fails to maintain faith. He's not pleased with the quitter. Faithful are a pleasure and delight in God's sight. We see that in the passage, don't we? The writer's confident that the Hebrews will stand firm and not draw back in verse 39. As Peter affirms in 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, those made righteous by their faith will receive the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So abiding in faith is the saving of the soul. And Peter, as a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, was writing to righteous people when he said, who have received a faith the same kind as ours, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. And if you're using the King James Version, you'll see that it says, them that have obtained a like precious faith. So faith is precious. If it's of the same kind that the apostles had. And we can be confident that it is if we receive our faith from the Holy Scriptures of God, from what is written. So Bible readers know that they need faith, and they want to claim it and possess it. They never want to lose faith. You don't ever want to abandon faith as a student of the Bible, as a person striving to be a Christian. That's not what you want for your life. You live with the understanding of how vitally important faith is. So you cling to it. You want that in your life. Well, just how important is it? The Bible indicates to us in several different ways that it's extremely important. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. That's you and I, isn't it? We anticipate a reward from God because we believe in Him and we seek Him. Seeking Him is evidence of our belief in Him. The incentive to change one's life into diligently seeking God is a promise of great reward. And that's what we look to as God's children. It's important to live by faith. From the text that we looked at in Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39, and referencing back to what Habakkuk the prophet wrote in chapter 2 and verse 4, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. Habakkuk said that a long time ago. So we live by faith. In the second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul declared that it's a parenthetical expression, but it's still true, we walk by faith. And not by sight. We behave by faith and not merely by appearance. We conduct ourselves in the path designed for us and indicated for us by the Holy Father of Heaven. And we don't guide ourselves by merely the things we see in this life, which are temporary. It's important as the foundation of our hope. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How assured are you today that your faith is genuine, rock solid, that you're standing with God? How assured are you of that today? Take inventory. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Don't let the people of the world convince you that if you can't see it, it's not real. Because the Bible student knows that's folly. By faith, the Christian has sure confidence that the things for which he hopes will become a reality at some point in the future. May not be very long for some of us. May be a little longer for others. But we want to hold on to that faith. For what is the reality in the future? Even though what the future holds is not revealed to us and detected by us, by our senses, by what we see, touch, taste, smell, or hear, it's real nonetheless. And He knows that we are waiting for Him. And the Lord has declared it to be so. Actions of obedience are an outgrowth of faith. Any obedience is. And you can take a lot of passages from the Bible and show the very strong connection between how a person lives, how he conducts himself, and the faith that you read about in God's Word. How does it affect a person's life? When faith reaches the point in our hearts where it's genuine, then we will know by what we do that our faith is genuine. We can question ourselves, and we can come to believe something because we just submit to it and agree and think, okay, that's probably the better way. But it's never really real with us until it alters our behavior. And that's the way faith is in the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11 shows that to be true with all of the faithful of the past that are outlined there. One such person is Abraham. And notice, in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, it talks about Abraham, and it says that when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't have to know where it was. All he had to know was the Lord God called him and told him to go, and his faith said, that settles it, I'm going. And that's exactly what he did. He went by faith. In verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He trusted in God. God held out something for him. He couldn't see it. Wasn't experienced in it. Had never experienced it. All he had was God's command. Leave the place and go to a place that I will show you. And because he had faith, what did he do? That's exactly what he did. He picked up and left. He followed God. He obeyed. So obedience is a significant part of it. Now what about your faith this morning? Do you prize it? Do you realize how important it is? Because God's Word says it's important. Do you treat it as vitally important? Do you take inventory of your own faith from time to time to see where you are? See if you're faltering. See if you're growing strong. See if you can encourage or help someone else in the strengthening of their faith. Those things are important. And there's something to consider along that line as well. And that is, faith can change. It can change. It can be weak in Romans 14 and verse 19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He's talking about Abraham again. About Abraham's faith. Without becoming weak in faith. He thought about things that could make him weak in faith, but it didn't make him weak in faith. It could have, but it didn't, because he was determined to be strong in faith. As in Romans 4, verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see where Abraham was with regard to his faith. So when I take inventory of mine, I look at my faith, I want strong faith like Abraham had. Don't you? It would be good if we possessed that. Growing strong in faith and giving glory to God. In Acts 16 and verse 5, the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Were they strong in the faith? Yes, they were. How do we know they increased in number? And the writer says they were becoming strong in faith. Right. Our faith can even be little at times. You might remember from the life of Christ and talking to his disciples, Matthew 6 and verse 30. You know, if the Lord God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. They had a little faith in God. What was the Lord trying to do with them? Now you just, it's all right to have little faith just so you have some. You can stay right where you are and everything will be fine. The Lord didn't teach that, did he? He's teaching them to grow in their faith. They have a little faith at present, but don't stay there. Grow. Matthew 8 and verse 26. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and they became perfectly calm. He's testing them. He's looking at their faith. Matthew 14:31, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You don't doubt when it comes to things with God, do you? In Matthew 16:8, Jesus said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? You know, several different times during his life, to his own disciples, they're in his training program. And he says, you have little faith. I'm sure that caused a little bit of difficulty in their thinking, a little disruption in their personal comfort, don't you? For the Lord to say, you have little faith. What would you want as a disciple of his? You wouldn't want to stay at little faith, would you? You would want to increase that, wouldn't you? I certainly would. I think you would. You would want to get to the point where maybe you had great faith. Kind of like in Matthew 8:10, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I've not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Great faith. Belief in God. Trust in God. Knowing what God can do for anyone who serves him and asks him. You know? Do these things show us that, yes, we could have faith, but it's possible for it not to be as good as it could? Don't these passages show that to us? What can happen to a person's faith? Why would we want to say, let's have a checklist of our personal faith? Why would we want to do that? If everybody's kind of on autopilot and we're all headed the same direction, it just automatically gets stronger all the time. Why would we want to say, let's examine our faith? Let's see where we are. Let me look at my faith and see where I am. Let you look at your faith and see where you are. Why would we want to do that? We would want to do that because things can happen in life that affect our faith in a negative way. And we don't want that. Well, what are you talking about? You know, faith can fail. Luke 22:32, I pray for you that your faith does not fail, may not fail. He told that to Peter. Remember, Peter denied the Lord. I thought he was going to die with him. Did he indicate that his faith was such that he would die with the Lord before he let anything happen to it? That's not what happened, was it? He denied the Lord. And the Lord said, I've prayed for you. What? That I might be able to eat three square meals every day for the rest of my life? No, because that's not what you need right now. What do I need right now, Lord? You need faith that doesn't fail. That's what Peter needed. Maybe you and I need that today. Maybe we're under some trial or some problem that's really testing our faith. Maybe we need strengthening of our faith. Maybe we need the Lord to pray for us that our faith does not fail. And he told Peter, when you've made the change back into strong faith, when you have repented, when you have made yourself right and rededicated yourself and strengthened your faith, then you strengthen your brothers. You strengthen your brothers and sisters because we're all in this together. It's not me against you. It's not you against me. We're all in this together, right? But faith can fail. And we can deny faith. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any does not provide for his own and especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith. And it's worse than an unbeliever. We can depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, that is, the day in which you and I live. That's what he's talking about. Some will fall away from the faith. You mean it's possible to fall away from the faith? Well, maybe we're in the wrong meeting house, because we can go down the road and find a meeting house where they said, well, once you're saved, you'll never fall away from the faith, because God will hold you in His hand and He's powerful, and you'll never falter and you'll never fall away. You'll never fail. There's a place in heaven reserved for you. Is that really right? In view of these passages, is that really right? The Spirit expressly says, in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. You can't fall away from something you were never in. Some will fall away from the faith. The Holy Spirit said that. You're going to argue with the Holy Spirit about that? I'm not. I don't want to fall away from the faith, and you don't either. These were doing it by paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. We don't want to pay attention to the wrong thing. We want to listen to what God has to say and take it from His Word, don't we? Because we don't want to depart from the faith. We don't want to make shipwreck of our faith, to use an illustration found in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. The people he was writing to knew full well what a shipwreck looked like. It's a disaster. We don't want disastrous things for our faith. Certainly not. You know, we can stray away from the faith in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have strayed away from the faith. They've wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Why would someone do that? Because they start loving material things more than they cultivate real, genuine faith in their hearts. Verse 21, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. It's possible to stray away from the faith. We don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Our whole life is wasted if we stray away from the faith. We all see that. We all see that. We need to be encouraged in that. Build each other up in the faith. We don't want to stray away from it. We can overthrow faith. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 18, men have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Why? Because they're listening to them. That's why. We don't want to listen to wild ideas that come down the pike every so often. Things different than we've studied and read about in God's Word and understood what God has said to us about time frames and all manner of things that are taught to us in the Scriptures. We don't want to stray away from the truth. You know, that's why we encourage Bible reading here. Encourage people to read your Bible every day. Take some of the Scriptures in your heart every day. It builds your faith. It strengthens your faith. Because if you don't, you'll stray away from it. We don't want that. That's disastrous for anyone. Some people just throw off their faith, like you would take an old shawl off and throw it in the garbage, or a worn-out coat, you pull it off and you throw it in the garbage. 1 Timothy 5, 11 and 12, but refuse to put younger widows on the list when they feel sensual desires in regard to Christ. They want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. They've set aside the faith. They've cast it off. You certainly don't want to go back to being an unbeliever, do you? Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. He's talking to brethren. Why would he be talking to brethren if it was impossible for brethren to once again return to an unbelieving heart? That wouldn't make any sense, would it? Don't do this, he says. Take care that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. He's not warning about some made-up pretend danger. He's warning about a real danger. So why would we spend time asking ourselves this very day, what about my faith? How do I stand before God? Is my faith getting stronger? Is it strong? Will it endure the trials that come my way that I don't even know about now, but I might know about later? What about my faith? Why would we do that? Because we can fall away from the living God. And we can go back to being an unbeliever. We don't want that. That's bad news. Bad consequences. So, what do we do with faith? Well, we grow our faith. We want it to increase. Grow is a good word. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged in the New American Standard Bible. Greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. We want a faith that's greatly enlarged and grows greater all the time. Right? That's what we want. We want it to increase. Luke 17 and verse 5. Just as the disciples said to the Lord when they heard his teaching and realized we don't quite measure up. What did they say to the Lord? Lord, increase our bank account. No, that's not what they said. Lord, increase our faith. Yes, now you're with it. Now you're going down the road. Now you're on the path. That's right. Increase our faith. Yes. Yes. Faith can be strengthened. Colossians 1 verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. We want to increase. Ephesians 3 verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. That's where faith lives, in the inner man. In our hearts. That's where we want to be strong. Right. And sometimes we can get to the point where we just kind of take things for granted. We kind of trust that our faith will be there. And then we kind of put it on autopilot and just kind of cruise. Can't do that. We'll get to the point where we start ignoring warnings that are given to us in the Word of God. We won't take those seriously. And we'll begin to assume things like, well, I've reached this point in faith. I won't go backwards. I may not increase my faith, but I'll kind of stay right here because I'm comfortable right here. Well, that's not the way it works either. And we might look around at other people and we might see the scriptural warnings that say, be strong and do not fall away. And we might begin to think, well, you know, I have enough faith and that won't happen to me. And how many times in life have we talked to people who have said things like, that'll never happen to me? And then 3 months later, 6 months later, 9 months later, a year later, 2 years later, and you see them. And there's something I have to tell you, brother. It happened to me. What is that about? We make estimations of our own strength that are not accurate at times. And that's life. That's what we do sometimes. But we need to be careful. We can't think that it'll never happen to us. And so we can say we do not need to neglect our faith. And that's why the lesson this morning. That's why look at ourselves. We can neglect our faith. We can fail to feed it. We can fail to give it nourishment that it needs to grow. Colossians 1. 9-11, for this reason also, since the day we heard of, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you will walk in a worthy manner of the Lord. To please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously. So feed that faith so it'll be where the Lord wants it to be. Feed it. Don't neglect it. You can neglect it by failing to add to it, as Peter indicates in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. Here's the guarantee that eternal life will be yours if you do this. He says, applying all diligence in your faith, supply these things. And then he gives a list. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And then he says in verse 8 of 2 Peter 1, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Peter says, here's the prescription for not falling away from the faith right here. It's pretty plain, isn't it? For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. All of those who have faith. Isn't it wonderful? You see, there's something good about checking our own faith and seeing that it's growing, it's becoming stronger. There's something good about that. That's a good result. Doesn't it? Peter shows us that it does. And there are a lot of other passages too, but we can't look at everything in the Bible this morning, but enough. We can neglect it by failing to exercise it. You know, when the apostles said to the Lord in Luke 17, verses 5 through 10, increase our faith, and his response to them was, you know, if you had faith like this little tiny mustard seed, really small little seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It's an illustration. He's not teaching them that their mission in life is to develop their faith so they can go around casting trees into the ocean. That's not the point of their lives. But there would be things that they would accomplish in their lives for God because of their faith that would be rather spectacular in the minds of normal people. And you can read about some of those things in the book of Acts. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, he's come in from the field, come immediately and sit down and eat. Won't you say, prepare something for me and then you can eat? And he says, you do the things that are commanded of you, and you regard yourself as an unworthy slave. You've done only what you ought to have done. And he's describing the life of the faithful. But he's also saying, you need to exercise your faith. You need to live by your faith. You need to let your faith work through you. And here's the last thing about what should the faithful do with faith. And this will explain the whole thing. Check it. Check it. Check your faith. That's where we are. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. You see? That's the basis of our whole lesson this morning. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Why? Because when we do, we'll recognize something. He says, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. So do we fail the test today, or is Jesus Christ in us? That's where we are. And that's why we test ourselves. That's why we examine ourselves, to recognize something about ourselves. Not looking at anybody else. I'm looking at me. You're looking at yourself. And you're examining yourself, and you're testing yourself to see where you are. And that's a good thing to do. Not only with faith, but a lot of other things that the Lord God requires of us. And His commandments are not grievous, are they? So check your faith. You believe what you always have believed, or do you believe that your faith is stronger today than it was 3 months ago, 6 months ago, last year? Is your faith stronger? Do you tolerate things that you didn't tolerate before? Are you bothered by sin in your life or in somebody else's that you love? Are you bothered by that? Are you as bothered as you used to be? Are you bored with Bible study, or have you increased your Bible study? Have you increased your Bible reading? Are you spending more time with God's Word? Are you spending more time in prayer? Is it harder to get to the worship assembly now than it used to be? Is it a fight with yourself about should I be in Bible study or not? Has your appetite changed? You know, a lot of different things to consider with regard to looking more closely at our faith. But it's good for us to do that from time to time, to see where we are. So we'll know within ourselves. Not that you have to report it to me. I don't need to know it necessarily. The Lord God knows it. And you know it. That's the thing. You know it. And here's the thing. What will you do about it? If you need to improve, will you improve? That's your choice. No one can make you. Can't put a shotgun to you and say, well, you're going to do it or we're going to kick you out of the church. No. No. It's for you. It's for me. It's for you to live by faith. May God bless you today is my prayer. I hope I've encouraged you in the right way. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, I'd like to encourage you to become one today. If you've reached the point where you genuinely have the faith that the Bible presents, that Jesus is the Son of God. If you look into His Word with an honest and good heart, and you keep looking, it'll bring you to that point. You'll realize that He is the Son of God. And if He is, you'll do whatever He says to be right with the Heavenly Father. You will repent of your past sins. You will confess Christ before men. You will be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will strive to be faithful, growing that faith with God's people in an assembly like this. So if you did respond to the invitation of Christ, please come to the front and let me know about it. And we will serve you while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you.